In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Twice each year we focus on the cross itself. Once in the middle of Lent, we decorate the cross and have it in the center of the church. And again today, in the post-feast of the elevation of the cross, we have the icon of the lifting up of the cross at the center of the church. The cross is the only thing that can reunite God's creation to Him through us. I say through us, it is specifically and particularly and only through Christ, who created the world along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and who enters the world in order to restore this world, in order to save this world, through us, through our humanity. In Him, God's divinity and our humanity are united, and it is through the cross that He reunites us to Himself. The good news is the fact that it is possible for us to enter through His death and resurrection into the life that God created us for. We heard from the Gospel according to Mark this morning, Jesus teaching His apostles and His disciples, the people, that those who try to save their own life will lose it. If our focus is on our own lives and how to save our lives and build them up, then the result will be that we will lose our lives, because God did not create us so that it is possible for us to live in that way. The effort to live in that way is exactly what cuts us off from life, what cuts us off from God. But, He says, those who lose their lives for My sake and for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the good news that we can enter through Christ into life at one with God and have the life that we lost by turning away from Him. Those who lose their lives for My sake and for the gospel's, they will have life everlasting. And then He says, for what good is it if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul? By turning away from God in love of the world and making the effort to save ourselves, we lose our soul. But if we die to ourselves, as St. Paul says, and lose our lives for Christ and His teaching that the cross is the way, then we gain our own souls. For what is there, He says, that is of more profit to us than our own soul? Why would we sell our souls to live a life of participation in death in the world as we turn our backs on God and what He created us to be like? And He says, those who would follow Me, abandon yourselves, take up your cross, and follow Me. That is the Christian message. That's the whole of the Christian message. And the tradition of the faith is the living of that message. We enter into Christ's life by passing through a death like His and through His resurrection. And when we pass through, we unite ourselves to all of those who have ever done the same. All of those who came before us, who died to this world, abandoned themselves, and took up the cross of living the Christian life. That is our tradition. You know, when we think of tradition, we think of a set of doctrines and teachings or ways of doing things, a set of commands or demands that we understand things in a certain way. That's how we think of tradition being. And human tradition maybe is like that. Human tradition based on a worldly power. But what is tradition? Tradition is the living tradition of the lives of those who have done what Christ called all of us to do. Passed through His death and resurrection, that event where He made it possible for us to reunite ourselves to God and to others. Tradition is the living of that faith. That's tradition. We receive that from those who have gone before us, who have lived in that same way. That's why Father John Meyendorf called this the living tradition. The tradition that is made up of the lives of the saints. All of those who are united to God the Father through His Son and in the Holy Spirit. That is the tradition that we enter into as Orthodox Christians. Father Lev Jalay says, the cross was there and was at the heart of the universe even before Christ was crucified. And what he means is that God created the kind of world where we can only live and be the human beings that He created us to be by turning our backs on this world, dying to ourselves, and living at one with Him. That is the nature of the world. Sometimes we think that the crucifixion is an unfortunate event where things were okay in the garden and something bad happened and God came into the world and we were going to be punished and so He paid the price. All of that ignores the fact that, as Father Lev says, the cross was at the heart of the universe before Christ was crucified. It wasn't a paradise created for us like some kind of toy world for little toy people to live in and things got messed up. It was the same world that God has restored to us. A world where our life can only be lived by uniting ourselves to God. That is possible by uniting ourselves to Christ. And that means picking up His cross and taking it through our lives to actively live a spiritual life from day to day of self-abandonment and repentance for being tempted to turn away and moving toward Him, toward a full sharing of the full stature of His divine life. I read something only recently that I had never known before, and it had to do with the conversion of Bishop Callistos Ware. Bishop Callistos, as many of you probably know, was born into the Anglican Church, was a member of the Anglican Church, the church in America is the Episcopalian Church. There's some history there, but we can't go into that now, but it's basically the same denomination. And in that church, Bishop Callistos, before he was Bishop Callistos, when he was still just Timothy Ware, reasoned to himself, I am free as an Anglican to believe, to accept the fullness of the teaching of the apostolic tradition. And so, I'm already Orthodox. I don't have to go and join a particular group of people. And with that understanding, he asked Father Lev Jalay, what does it mean to be Orthodox? And Father Lev said, to be Orthodox means to accept the fullness of the apostolic tradition and to be in communion with those who are given the responsibility by God to teach that tradition. And this was something that was news and an enlightenment to Timothy Ware. A light went on in his head. He said that suddenly he was struck by the fact that orthodoxy is communion. I can't be orthodox on the basis of my own personal opinion. The orthodox faith and living the orthodox faith is not a matter of my own individual personal conviction. It is a matter of actual communion, physical and spiritual communion at the same time, with those who have received and keep and teach the fullness of the faith. Not something you can accomplish just within yourself. It is only a living faith. It can't live on paper. Now, of course, Timothy Ware, great scholar, taking firsts, as they say in England, in Greek and other languages. He was a scholar. And so it was natural for him to think, as it is for different reasons, for us as Americans to think about keeping the faith as our own personal conviction, our own personal opinion. That's how it works in the Episcopalian and the Anglican Church. You're all kind of gathered together in a loose kind of confederation, and people believe all kinds of different things. But Timothy Ware was asking himself, can I truly say that all of those bishops that I am in communion with as a member of the Anglican Church teach the fullness of the apostolic tradition? And we know that many of them teach strange things. And so it is in all of our churches, where personal opinion is king. But it's not a matter of our personal opinion. Putting that as king, making that the first principle, that's part of what has to go. That's part of what has to die. How can we submit ourselves as individuals to a faith that is 2,000 years older than any of us, and participate actively in terms of every moment of our lives being at one with the life of all of the saints, if our own personal opinions are in first place? It is the living of that same life, the living tradition, that makes us a Christian. That is the nature of the Orthodox faith. And that requires the cross. If you wish to follow Christ, you must abandon yourself, take up your cross, and that, it's not a unique cross, and how it works out in our particular lives, that is unique, but it's the same cross for all of us. Abandoning ourselves, dying to ourselves. So that, as St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, the one who is the source of life. And that's something that we share with all of those who have gone before us. All of those Christians. Christian meaning someone who has died to himself and entered through the death and resurrection of Christ into a shared communion with all of those others who have actually done the same. There's a glimmering of understanding of these things in the tradition of Christianity in America. If we think back to the evangelically minded pilgrims who said that there has to be some kind of personal experience, otherwise your Christian faith isn't real. But what we're saying here is that reality, that Christian experience, without which we are not fully Christian, it can't consist of just confessing some formula, making some kind of contract after which we are saved. That experience is dying to ourselves, leave yourself behind, and take up the cross of living a life that is the loss of your own selfish self-life for the rest of your life. It's never a once-and-done sort of thing. It's ongoing. And it has been ongoing since the descent of the Holy Spirit, when a new way of life came into the world. This way of life that we are describing right now. Dying to ourselves by repentance. Remember the connection of repentance to baptism, and baptism to sharing a death like that of Christ, and resurrection. Return into that life that we constantly stray away from. And so there is the necessity for a constant effort of repentance and taking up the cross again and continuing. That's why the cross is at the center of our Christian faith. The cross is at the center. The cross is at the heart of the universe because of the very nature of the world that God created. That's why we bow down before the cross and ask God that it give us victory over our enemies, over every temptation that comes to us, that seeks to pull us away from our oneness with God and with all of the others that we are at one with. Our husbands, our wives, our families, our children. The world will try to drag us away. But once again, we have to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and continue. Before thy cross, we bow down and worship. Save us, O God, and keep us at one with you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.